All right, let's open to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. It's the little book just right after the book of Jeremiah. All right, so it's easy to find. Lamentations chapter 3. This is another message in our series we're doing on great statements of faith. And the title of the message is Reliance on God's Sustaining Power. Now, Lamentations chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 21. This is recalled to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful to be able to be in church this morning and be able to read the Bible together. I do pray, Lord, a prayer of thanksgiving for those that were baptized in the early service and those who will be baptized in this service. And we're thankful for their faith that they have in Christ and the testimony they are giving through identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through water baptism. We're thankful, Lord, that this morning we can come and with a prayer of faith, believing that if there's someone here that's not saved this morning, that you can touch their heart, Lord, and they can come and receive Christ, be gloriously born again. We pray for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God that will stir each of our hearts, Lord, as believers will trust and believe and rest in the hope that our God is all-powerful and he is able, Lord, to do whatever he has promised he would do in our life. And so I pray that you might encourage us, strengthen us. May the Spirit of God be our teacher this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is in verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Great statements of faith. This certainly is a statement of faith that paints for us the importance of relying on God's sustaining power to be able to get through. And oftentimes we think we can do it on our own and our own strength and ability, and only to end up failing because we need the strength of the Lord. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so we need to rest and rely on the sustaining power of God. Jeremiah had a great responsibility, a burdensome task, and that was to preach messages to Israel, warning them that God's wrath is upon them. Not like Isaiah. Isaiah had the opportunity to preach, hey, God's judgment is coming. You need to repent and get right with God. But because they did not get right with God, Jeremiah was commanded of the Lord to go and warn Israel that judgment has already come. And so literally, Lamentations is a supplement, I guess you could say, follow-up book after the book of Jeremiah, because it is a book of mourning. A lamentation means to wail or to have great mourning. And so certainly as you read through Lamentations, you find some great promises about the ability of God to do magnificent things in the life of the believer. But you also read through the book and you sense the mourning of Jeremiah because of the condition of his people, Israel. And I certainly know this, that we ought to be mourning the condition in America. And the things that are going on, I just cannot believe what's going on. I never thought I'd see in my lifetime that you have two candidates that are running for president and nobody wants, and basically are just voting for the one that will be able to defeat the one that they really don't want. Just the immoral, inappropriate conversations and comments and everything else, you name it. I mean, it's a mess. And I don't know about you, it brings me to a spirit of mourning or wailing or lamentation over the condition of the world in which we live. And Jeremiah says, now listen, God's judgment is upon you. God's wrath is here. And so we need to get things right with the Lord. That's why verse 22, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And the blessing is that because of the mercy of God, we're not consumed. If God takes his mercy off of us and God refuses to bless us, we cannot stand on our own. And so we need to have a reliance on God's sustaining power. Habakkuk, and I put the verse on the slide so you wouldn't have to try to find that little book in the Minor Prophets. But in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 2, says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Certainly the prophet Habakkuk understood the judgment and the wrath of God coming on his people. And as he would cry out to the Lord, he says, listen, when I heard your speech, when I heard from you, I was fearful. I was moved with a position of concern about what is going to happen when God's wrath falls. So he begs with God, will you just give a little bit of reviving in the throughout the years? But remember, when you do bring your wrath, you do bring your judgment, remember mercy upon us. And our cry, our prayer ought to be like that. Lord, we need a little reviving. We need a stirring of God in our midst and certainly across this great land. But Lord, if you have to bring your wrath and judgment, will you remember mercy in the process of bringing your judgment on us? In Psalm 59 and verse 16, it says, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. And Psalmist was singing out about the power of God, because what he could not do on his own, his God could do. When he could not defend himself, his God would come alongside and defend him and give him deliverance. And you and I can be in a position of reliance on God's sustaining power as we rejoice and acknowledge the mercy of God every day is renewed, and God's mercy is sufficient to get us through the days of trouble that we have to face. So reliance on God's sustaining power. Notice, first of all, in our chapter, we're going to kind of look at the verses here together. Verse 24, we see the Lord is my portion. Jeremiah cries out, the Lord is my portion. In verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And so coming to a place of knowing that, wait a minute, God is your portion. How much does God have of you, and how much do you have of God? You know, Peter tells us that God has given us everything that is necessary for life and godliness. He tells us that in 1 Peter chapter 1. And oftentimes we live our life as if God is not enough. We live our life as if God is not going to come through for us. But yet Jeremiah said, wait a minute, Lord, you are my portion. It is more important for us to be connected with God than it is for us to be connected with anything else in this world. What is God, your portion? And he said, because of that, he said, I am not consumed. In verse 22, where we had read, he said, of the Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That literally means that we are not completely done away with, or we're not completely destroyed because of the mercy of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul helped us to understand this. In verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4, 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Paul literally said, oh, everything that we have, our salvation, the Lord, the Holy Spirit that is in us, we have in an earthen vessel. In other words, God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and it was God who breathed in his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And Paul is saying this, the life that we live is not based on the strength, talents, and abilities that we have in this body or in this life that we have, but rather it is based on the power of God. We live our life in earthen vessels. Why? So that the power, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then in verse 8 he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You look around and you can see the situations around us, but you do not have to be distressed where you feel that your life is over. We're troubled on every side. Paul understood what it was to be troubled on every side, but never fell into a place of distress and of defeatism, but rather he realizes God was strong enough to get him through. although I may be surrounded by trouble, I am not consumed by the trouble because of the mercy of God. He goes on to say, we are perplexed, but not in despair. I'm confused by the trends of the day. I'm confused by political things that are going on. I'm confused when it comes to the immoral acceptance of lifestyles and conduct that are gross and not in the design and plan of God. I'm perplexed that we can be so consumed with all these things. But I can tell you this, I'm not to a point of despair. To be in despair is to be without hope. And I hope in my God, I trust in my God, because I rely on God's sustaining power to keep me going and to be able to clear out my mind and give me an understanding heart, even into times of perplexity. He says in verse 9, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Don't ever get to the point where you feel as though that God has forsaken you. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor abandon thee. He said, I'm always with you. I'll never turn my back on you. You'll never be alone. And so we may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken of God. Oftentimes, troubles and problems come in our life when we think, well, God is not concerned about me, and God does not is not aware of where I'm at and what I'm going through. But Paul says, wait a minute, we might be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. He said, we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. There may be times where you will fail in your life. It's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up again. Proverbs says, a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he gets up again. And coming to a place of realizing that, wait a minute, I am not consumed by the trials and opposition and difficulties and corruption that is in this world, because I live on the basis that the Lord is my portion in life, not this world. I trust in the living God. I am not consumed. Why? Because it's mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And literally every one of us sitting in this room here this morning, every one of us deserved to go to hell. Every one of us deserved the wrath and the judgment of God upon us. But that's what mercy is. God not giving us what we deserve. He had promised that if we'd call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. He has promised that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he's going to go, he's going to come back, receive us unto himself. He's told us all these things. Do we deserve any of that? Absolutely not. That's what the mercy of God is. And that's why Jeremiah understands the conditions in Israel, the rebellion and the wickedness of their hearts, their disobedience to their God. But he said it's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. It wasn't anything they had done or could do, but rather it was the mercy of God that kept them going. So I'm not consumed. Notice I'm loved in verse 22 in our text, because his compassions fail not. We are loved. The Lord loves us because of the fact that Jesus came into this world to die for sinners. He came to deliver us from the bondage of our sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And here is the love that John says, that we didn't love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. So his compassions, they fail not. Jesus looked on the multitudes as they wandered about and were scattered abroad. And he said he had compassion on them because they were as sheep that were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. The love of God that has compassion towards us. The Lord is my portion. In Psalm 78, in verse 37, says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Excuse me. And so their heart wasn't right with their God. Israel was the apple of the eye of God. Their hearts were not right with God. But in verse 38, it says, but he, that's God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. And destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. And so we are loved by the Lord because of the fact he realizes, he knows us, and he looks on us, and he knows that we are nothing but dust. In verse 41 says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. The problem was Israel got to a place where they forgot the love of God, the power of God to sustain them and delivering them and bring them out of bondage in Egypt. And I'm afraid oftentimes when we get in trials and we get in difficulties in life, we forget that you're loved by God. Well, nobody loves me. Yeah, there is somebody that loves you. God loves you. And oftentimes people say, well, God doesn't care about me. Yes, he does, because of the fact that he has promised to save you and bless you as you surrender your life to him. He is your portion in life. So I'm loved. What does that speak of? That speaks of grace. Grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. I don't deserve the presence of God. I don't deserve the blessings of God. But God in his grace gives me what I do not deserve. He said that he would give me a home in heaven. Jesus has said he is preparing a mansion in heaven for me. He has declared that I'm going to be able to be in the presence of my God. I don't deserve any of those things, but that's what grace is. Grace is the demonstration of God's love towards me. His love is so consuming that literally he gives me things that I don't deserve in my life. And so the Lord is my portion. So I'm not consumed, but I am loved because of God's mercy and because of his compassion. That means I'm secure. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 14 says, and whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. No man can add to it, nor can take away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Security. We are secure in the Lord because he is my portion. And that speaks of preservation, God's enduring power. And Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I am thankful this morning that I can be confident that the Lord as my portion of what I am in life and what I can experience in life is based on the God who has saved me. It puts me in a position where I have hope. I continually hope in him, so the Lord is my portion. So we have a reliance on God's sustaining power because of he being ever present with us. Well, verse 25 in our text, we say that the Lord is good. Verse 25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And that tells me this, my daily supply in life. He says in verse 23 that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So daily, every day, God is supplying what I need for that day. When I rise up out of bed in the morning, God already knows what I need. When I get dressed and I get ready to go out and meet my responsibilities in the day, God wants me to speak to him and commune with him in prayer and Bible reading, but I'm going to tell you, he already knows what I need to meet the responsibilities of that day. And so the Lord is always good in my daily supply. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it says that by two immutable things, in the which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So God is good because of the fact he gives us hope to be able to face the challenges of the day. My daily supply. Financially, what I need, God gives me what I need for the day. Physical, emotional stability that I need, God gives me for that day. I just know this, that I can rely on God's sustaining power because it is a daily supply that he sends my way. Well, it's a faithful supply. It's a faithful supply. It says, not only is his mercies renewed every morning, but great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to keep the promises that he has given to us. And where am I here? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So why should we get to a place of despair and despondency about the fact that, wait a minute, that our God is forgot about us. God is not going to take care of us. I have all these problems and difficulties facing me. Well, wait a minute. Lay hold of your profession of faith based on what? The Lord is faithful and he is always good. There's never a time when God is not good to you. It is a very dangerous place to get in to where because you may not get what you want or things may not work out the way you want, you want get angry with God and think that God is not good. You know, it's interesting that in the creation account, that everything that God did in creating this world, he ended with a conversation statement, it was good, or it was very good. Everything that God does for us is always good. And so he is faithful. The Lord is good because he's faithful in his supply and that he's able to meet my daily needs day by day. But also it's a satisfying supply. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him and to the soul that seeketh him. Day by day, God is able to meet our needs. In Titus chapter 1, Paul speaks to Titus about God's ability to be able to care for us and to provide for us. He tells us in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But then he reminds Titus in Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and to the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And so God promised us that he would supply our needs. And because of the fact that he has literally promised us eternal dwelling place in heaven, then I think he certainly can take care of our needs that we have down here on this earth. The Lord is good. You know, I look at my past and I look at things that my wife and I have experienced when we got saved and when we were in Bible college, starting a church, these different times in our life where we had no money. Had nothing, had no food, no money, nothing, but we'd pray to God and God would take care of us and God would supply the need that we had for that day. I'm thankful that I could read in the Bible that the children of Israel, when they wandered through the wilderness, that God would rain down manna from heaven to feed them for that day, but they could not hoard it because it would sour and be no good, because God supplies our needs on a daily basis because he is faithful. And because he is faithful, he always satisfies us. He may not be enjoying or experiencing everything that you want and that you expect at that moment, but it is a good thing for us to wait for him, and the soul that seeketh after him shall be satisfied. So the Lord is my portion. And so I rely on his sustaining power. The Lord is good, so I rely on his sustaining power. Verse 26, our text verse, the Lord is salvation. It is good that a man should both hope and patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord. First of all, we see this matter of hope. Hope is to have an expectation that God is going to come through. And it's good for man to hope in the Lord. And it's good for you to hope and pray for someone to be saved. We believe that God is not willing that any should perish, and so it's good for us to have hope. With God, there is always hope. We never get to a place of despair where there is no thought process that, wait a minute, I can't get through or I can't accomplish. With God, there is always hope. In Psalm 27, in verse 14, says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just coming to that place of trusting God to a point that you can not be anxious about life, but rather you can rest in the fact that God is on the throne, he is in control of all things, and he knows what's going on in your life. But also, in Psalm 43, in verse 5, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. See, there is deliverance, there is salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 78, in verse 7, continues with this thought of Israel needing to put their hope in their God. Psalm 78, in verse 7, says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I think many times it helps us to have hope for tomorrow if we'll just reminisce and remember what God has done for us in the past. When you have that situation and you have a bill that is overwhelming, you don't know how you're going to be able to pay that bill, it's good to remember, well, wait a minute, God came through for me in this situation. When you have a health crisis And you could think back of when you prayed for someone and how God moved in their life and God healed. And so there is always hope in the Lord of salvation. So there's hope. Notice there's patience. He tells us about those that wait. And so sometimes we just have to have the patience to endure to the end, to wait on God. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. He didn't say fret. He didn't say be anxious. He didn't say be all stressed out. He said rest. A rest is to be able to lay easy in the arms of Christ. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Coming to a place of just having the patience of God to be able to endure and to wait and acknowledge that God's timing is never late. And what God does is always good. And so it always gives me a heart of expectation and hope. So the Lord is salvation. There's hope, there's patience, and there's deliverance. Because wait for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 119 is a great psalm because every verse except for three verses in Psalm 119 mentions the word of God. But in Psalm 119, in verse 1-6, it says, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Hope for thy salvation. I'm thankful that my mom was committed enough to pray for 28 years for my dad to be saved. Took 28 years, my mom praying for him. And while she was praying for him, she did not break God's commandments. She did what was right and did what was just. And even though there were many telling her, you know, you need to go along and you need to compromise, you need to, different people were telling her she needed to leave my father and divorce him and all this. And she said, no, he's my husband. And he is the father of my children. And God has commanded me to love my husband and to submit to my husband and to pray for my husband. And I'm believing God for the salvation of my husband. Well, God gave it to her after 28 years. There is deliverance with God. And that doesn't mean it's going to happen when you think it should happen. It means it's going to happen when God, in his timing, brings it to pass. So we wait on the Lord. We trust in our God. We hope in the salvation that he has so declared. In verse 174 of Psalm 119 says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. And I'm thankful that there is a position that we can take in longing for God to do something, but we can patiently wait for his timing to be perfect. And may I say, he always does everything right on time. You know, it's interesting. My wife and I got married. We weren't saved. And now, kind of an embarrassment sometimes when I look at our wedding pictures, amen, and see the old lifestyle that we used to have. But we weren't saved when we got married. And then I had gotten saved. And I didn't tell my wife I got saved. And she was sick on a Sunday morning. And I got up, and she was laying on the couch, and she was sick, and I got up, and I got all dressed and everything, and I was getting ready to go. She was like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. She said, you're going to leave me here? We never went anywhere by ourselves. We always go everywhere together. She said, you're going to leave me here? I said, you'll be fine. I'll pray for you. I'm going to church. Amen. And so I went to church, and while she was there in the living room, she turned on one of the television preachers, old Rex Humbard, and some of you might remember him years ago. And at the end of his message, he said, there's somebody out there that's in a sit. You're in your living room right now, and you need to be saved. And you need to trust the Lord as your Savior. What you need to do is get on your knees right there in your living room and ask the Lord to save you. And my wife got off the couch and knelt in the living room, asked the Lord to save her. But I just think back at those situations of God's timing. I long for the salvation of God. I long for God to do something in our hearts. And really, as immature, ignorant Christians, because we both got saved, didn't know anything better than to say, well, wait a minute, if God has said it, then we can believe it and we can trust him and we can patiently wait for him and God will take care of all these things. And we left to go to Bible college, had no money, had no job, we had nothing. I had enough money to rent an apartment for a month or two, and that was it. We just took off and got up to Bible college. Started praying, God, you know, we're here. I need a job, amen. And God has always come through. He is the God of salvation. He always delivers us. And it's amazing to be able to look back and see all that God did. We would pray for my wife's brothers that they might be saved. We've been able to see them come to Christ over the years. Took years to do it, but we've been able to see them to come to Christ. You have to patiently wait on God because he is the Lord of salvation. I can't do it and you can't do it, but we can rely on the saving power, sustaining power of God Almighty. Psalm 40 in verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, the problem is we wait on God, but we're not very patient about it. We get anxious and we start wanting to dictate to God what he ought to be doing. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Man, that's enough right there to keep you going. I patiently waited on the Lord, and he inclined unto me. In other words, he paid attention to me, and he heard my cry. In verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside into lies. Many, O Lord my God, are they thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If thou would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God is the God of salvation because he delivers his people over and over again. Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations with a broken heart. He writes out of a spirit of mourning because he knows the condition of Israel suffering under the chastening hand of God. But he reminds them the Lord's mercies don't fail. The compassion of God doesn't fail. If the Lord is your portion, you have hope. If the Lord is good, you can patiently wait on him. If the Lord is salvation, then you can trust in the fact that he will deliver and set you free from every bondage in your life. Reliance on God's sustaining power. It's not about who I am or how strong I am. It's about how big and how good is my God, which has loved me and saved me and blesses me day by day. Reliance on God's sustaining power. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, thanking you for the power of God that rests on us. We're thankful that we can be saved and know that we're saved. We're thankful, Lord, that as a believer in Christ, that we can be assured of every moment of every day, you are inclining your ear towards us, and you're aware of what we need. May we draw strength from you. May we not try to live in our own power and our own abilities, but may we allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us and strengthen us and mold us and bless us and use us in a powerful way to bring glory to our God. The sustaining power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray if there's someone here not saved, Lord, may they might come and receive you as their Savior. I pray for believers this morning that you would help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.